Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Faithfulness Brings Fruitfulness.
Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 1. Hear now God's word. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither, and all that they do they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will not perish.
Before we turn to our second lesson from Galatians, I know that many of us come this morning with heavy hearts about events that have taken place in our nation this week. We have witnessed unspeakable violence in Louisiana and in Minnesota and in Dallas. Black on white and white on black, police on civilian and civilian on police. I don't propose an answer for us this morning. I wish I could. I do not. I don't have one. However, I do believe that as people of God, we are called to peace and to reconciliation and to justice, and that we must agree together that this behavior and all of the hatred and racism and prejudice and bias and fear-mongering that harbors and excites it must stop. And so to that end, I believe that the church, that you and I have a unique and God-given responsibility to play a role in bringing about peace and justice in our nation. And it begins right here with you and with me in this place and in this community. And I believe that we are called both to prayer and to action. While people of good faith, good practice and principle may differ on the means to that end, surely together we must agree that we will commit ourselves to that end. And so let us begin. And let us begin here and now. Because we are a people who have been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, and so have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let us be that people. As we turn to our reading from Galatians, again, I believe if we can apply God's word to the actual living of our lives, we will have moved a great distance in being a part of a world that God desires for us and we desire for ourselves. So let's listen together. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at the 16th verse, we hear Paul write, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, not competing against one another, neither envying one another." Friends, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks this day and pray now that as we come before you and sit beneath the teaching of your word, that our hearts and our minds, our very lives, might be open to the movement of your spirit in us and through us, all to your honor and glory. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to talk with you this morning about something with which I have a moderate amount of experience and very limited success: lawn and gardening. In our many years of home ownership, I believe we have successfully killed two different lawns. In fact, one of those required a friend of ours who was the head groundskeeper of the local country club to help us come and reseed it. We've had equal, complete, and utter failure when it comes to vegetable gardening. Our first attempt was with some friends a number of years ago who said it would be fun to share a garden together. In fact, we did have fun one day, plowing and planting. But as I recall, we never made it back to that garden to tend it throughout the rest of the summer. If I recall, the only bounty we took from that garden was a scrawny little radish that turned out to be a remnant red potato from the folks who had been using the garden the year before us. Now, we've had much better success in this capacity since moving to Indianapolis. However, our largely wooded lot necessitates that we move towards shade gardens rather than vegetable gardens. Now, I know you didn't come to hear about my horticultural misadventures, but let me tell you about my latest endeavor when it comes to lawn and gardening, because it ties beautifully with what Paul is going to talk about in Galatians 5 this morning. We have some ivy growing up one of the oak trees right beside our home that is an invasive species called winter creeper. And it does. It creeps everywhere. So I decided to eradicate it. I learned the word eradicate when I was in high school. My friend and I were painting a neighbor's fence to earn a little spending money, and there was a bush that was growing through the fence that was coming from another neighbor's yard. So we wondered what we were to do with it. We asked this gentleman, he was an austere, elderly gentleman, what should we do with your bush? And he said, eradicate it. Simply eradicate it. So we smiled and nodded, went back, looked up what the word eradicate meant, and then began to tear that bush out by its roots, which is exactly what I did with this winter creeper, which leads us to Paul's first spiritual principle. He says, if you live by the Spirit, that is, if you walk in step with the Spirit, if you desire the things of God in your life, then there are some works of the flesh that simply need to be eradicated. And then he lists them: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Now, this list is not intended to be exclusive. So we shouldn't read it with that suspicious eye, looking for the loophole. Oh, good, my particular variety of sin is not listed. I guess I'm all right. Paul rather wisely says sinful behavior is obvious. It may be hard to define, but you'll know it when you see it. And we do, don't we? We know when we have crossed over. We know when we are getting close to the line of crossing over into a behavior, either mental or physical, that we know does not bring honor to God, does not demonstrate our confession of faith, does not give ownership to the submission of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't need a list to tell us no, but we do need conviction and we do need commitment with the aid of God's Holy Spirit to simply eradicate those behaviors when the voice of reason or the voice of conscience or the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. If we walk by the Spirit, we must be willing and committed to pulling those insidious weeds of sin out of our lives. Now, admittedly, Paul uses really strong language when he speaks of this. He says, I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is he making a universal statement here about the forfeiture of our salvation if we behave in these ways? I don't believe so. But what he is saying, simply and strongly, is that there is a fundamental inconsistency between those behaviors which seek to satisfy the desires of the flesh and those which seek after life in the Spirit of God. And we, each of us, individually, all of us collectively as the body of Christ, must make a decision as to what end we are going to seek. The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? The kingdoms of this world or the kingdom of God? And it is a decision that we make not only once, but daily, perhaps hourly. Today, in this moment, I am going to be Christ's man. Today, in this moment, I'm going to be Christ's woman. I am going to make a decision and behave in a way that reflects the value systems of the kingdom of God. So once we begin eradicating the fleshly desires, we're left with an open field, with a body of fertile soil where something new must be planted, or we know that new weeds will grow. They'll take root. And so back to this winter creeper. After pulling out that insidious ivy, and you know, it is hard work to pull out ivy. It is also hard work to pull out those sinful behaviors from our lives. Those behaviors which do not reflect the presence of Christ. But once out, I began to plant grass seed. I turned the soil, I applied the seed exactly as it said in the package, I spread fertilizer, and I began a daily routine of watering. And at first, nothing happened. And of course, I was set up for the disappointment. I've been through this so many times before. But after several days, I started to see some green shoots coming up from the soil. And now, with continued care and attention and good rainfall that we've had, I have a very healthy patch of new grass. Horticultural success. Back to Paul's instruction to the Galatians. While it is absolutely necessary to avoid and eradicate ungodly behavior, the desires of the flesh, that alone is not sufficient. We must also embrace and encourage behaviors which will produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If we live by the Spirit, we should be guided by the Spirit. Let us produce then fruit which demonstrates the values of the kingdom of God. And Paul again lists them for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and generosity. Again, this list is intended to be indicative. It's not exclusive. But again, we know godly behavior when we see it. Now, Paul refers to these as being the fruit of the Spirit in the singular, much in the same way as we might refer to a garden in the singular, realizing that there are many plants in the garden, and each needs a particular care and attention. So what he is not saying is, now you have been given the fruit of love, and you the fruit of self-control, and you the fruit of generosity. Too often I think we look at the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and think, God has either given me that gift or not. And sometimes we use that as an excuse. Oh, I don't have to tell people about Jesus. I've not been given the gift of evangelism. Well, friends, none of us can say, I've not been given the gift of kindness or of gentleness or of self-control. For admittedly, some of these virtues come more easily than others, but all of them are necessary evidences that we are walking with the Spirit of God. And if we say we walk with Christ, then these are the virtues which must be present in us and growing. Now, without becoming judgmental here, and Jesus clearly instructs us not to be judgmental of others, Paul does seem to suggest that we show evidence of the desires of our hearts by the way we live our lives. We chase after that which we desire. We commit ourselves to that which we value. So rather than looking at anyone else and their motives, we can take this list of the fruit of the Spirit and look inwardly at our own motives, at our own faithfulness and fruitfulness. So I'm going to encourage you this morning to open your bulletin and find a page that says Sermon Notes. And listed there are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Better to look at these than the works of the flesh, right? I'm not going to explain these to you. Paul is exactly right. These are obvious. They are self-evident. But I am going to ask you to consider and make note, either mentally or with a pen and pencil, and again, for your eyes only, where you are in each of these, and what perhaps you need to do in a very particular way to make this a more of a reality in your life, to bear fruit in your life. I'm only going to give you a moment of reflection for each one of these, so note for yourself what comes first to mind. Love. What relationship or circumstance comes to mind which calls you to be more loving? What is something specific you can do to demonstrate that love? Do you remember the little motto, when in doubt, do the loving thing in the loving way? Perhaps there is someone that comes to mind who actually needs to hear you say, I love you. Joy. We're not talking about happiness here, not the fleeting feeling of excitement, but that which will bring you joy, the deep-seated contentment. Some of you will recall a couple of weeks ago we talked about joy as being Jesus, others, yourself. What do you need to be doing right now to get that order of sequence back into proper priority? Peace. What do you need to let go of? What promise of God do you need to hold on to in order to experience peace in your heart, a peace of God which passes all human understanding? What relationship or circumstance comes to mind that needs a little measure of peace? Don't overthink this. Just jot down what you're thinking. Patience. Name the person or the circumstance that tries your patience, pushes you to the limit. That place where you find yourself quick to anger or to become defensive. You know, we laugh at that prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. But in fact, that may be exactly the prayer we need to be praying. Lord, give me patience. And Lord, I need it right now. Where do you need patience in your life? Kindness. Sometimes kindness is perceived as being an afterthought, kind of an unnecessary, particularly when it regards someone we don't even know, a waiter, a clerk, a worker. Sometimes it's with regards to someone we know very well, a spouse, a child, a coworker. You know, a little kindness goes a long way in every relationship. Generosity or goodness. The list of the 9 virtues are widely undisputed in the various translations that we have, except for this one. Growing up, I learned this virtue as goodness. Modern translations say generosity. Either way, goodness, generosity are both virtues we need to develop. Did you notice that the desires of the flesh are all inwardly focused, meeting my needs? The fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is all directed outward. What is God doing in us that impacts the world around us? In what ways do I need to grow in goodness, in generosity? Faithfulness. Greater faithfulness in all of our relationships, wherever promises have been made, with God, with a spouse, with a child, with a friendship. Our faithfulness reflects the faithfulness of God. Gentleness. Some translations will read humility or meekness. In what areas of my life do I need to learn or to practice gentleness? In what areas of my life, in what relationships, do I play the part of the bully, the tyrant, the one who always has to get my way? Self-control. Self-control really is at the heart of discipleship, submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So in what areas of my life am I simply out of control? In what ways are my behaviors unbecoming and inconsistent with being a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm going to encourage you to continue that little exercise of self-reflection at home this afternoon and then to repeat it with some regularity, kind of like an annual checkup. In sum, what Paul is giving us here is a question that says, in what ways am I growing in faithfulness and in fruitfulness? And in some ways, that should be measurable in us. But before we leave this passage, let me offer one more bit of horticultural advice. One can pray all day for grass to grow, and while it is ultimately a gift of God, yes, there is also a part in that process that you and I have to play. A story is told of a man who bought a new home and noticed that there was a part of his back lot that was just weedy and full of overgrowth, and he thought, oh, that'd be a beautiful place for a garden. So he spent hours and hours pulling and digging and tilling and planting and fertilizing and watering until finally there was a beautiful garden. A friend came to visit and she said, oh, look at that beautiful garden. Isn't it remarkable what God can do with a piece of land? And the man said, yes, it is. But you should have seen that piece of land when God had it all to himself. Okay, friends, without question, the fruit of the Spirit, every one of these and all of them together combined, like faith itself, this is a gift of God. It is God's gift to us that ultimately is used for his purpose and glory. But there is a part of our spiritual lives that only God can do, and he has done it for us in Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and the gift of his Spirit. But there is also a part of our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth that only you and I can do. And this is one of those incidences where God invites us, calls us, insists that we partner with him in the work he desires to do in us. Now, if you were going to drive home today and happen to drive past our home, you could see that oak tree and you could see a beautiful patch of grass all around it. But if you look closely enough, you would also see that there are strands of winter creeper still going up the trunk. And that there are still vines under the ground that I cannot see, I cannot get to, but they continue to grow. Try as I haven't eradicated all of that insidious vine, and I know there is more still to come. And that's a good reminder to me that spiritual growth is not a once and for all transaction with God. Christ did his work of salvation once and for all, but we have to continue to work out our salvation each and every day. God has done his work for us and our salvation, but now we must do our work. And it is hard work. It is the hard work of eradicating that sinful behavior in us and tending the garden that is the fruit of the Spirit if we are going to grow spiritually and grow fruit worthy of the kingdom of God. And I know that is our heart's desire this and every day. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, give us the courage and the conviction, the faith to do the work that you have already begun in us. May we be faithful to you and to it this day and always, for it is through Christ we pray. Lord, hear our prayer.